You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here with Mick Norton to look ahead to the best of Monday's action. A Monday that features no jumps racing, unfortunately. Air has abandoned already. We're recording this at about midday on Sunday, but they failed their inspection on Sunday morning. We're left with Wolverhampton and Kempton, knowing there's some decent all-weather action to look forward to. Some competitive stuff anyway. And we'll be doing our best to find you a winner or two in the coming few minutes. We're also going to have a look back at the best of Saturday's racing, because there was some belting stuff there. All of that was over jumps, and some attritional stuff as well. We'll get to that shortly, but first things first, good afternoon, Mick Norton.
Yes, good afternoon, Alex, and good afternoon and happy new year, everybody.
Absolutely, yeah. We saw on Saturday, in the Welsh National, Mountainous win the race for the second time in 3 years for Kerry Lee. It was just a superb staying performance from a horse that clearly relished conditions when, let's be honest, the majority of the 20 strong field really didn't.
Well, I think he's about the only horse in training who handles conditions as extreme as those, and is often, as we've seen before, seen at his best at tough tracks like Cheltenham that just put more emphasis on stamina than many other places, and especially when the ground's riding as bad as it was Saturday, and using the old Sherlock Holmes method, he was basically quite an easy one to come up with, wasn't he?
yeah, he was, because you could just sort of go through them. The race had a fantastic... I'm a big fan of trends. Basically, you wanted a low weight. You could almost rule half the field out just on weight grounds, and then you're left with some horses that just aren't quite good enough. That you know don't handle going that testing.
It was a very short shortlist, Alex, when you'd gone through them, wasn't it?
It was. I had one fancy, which was Woodford County, which plugged on for fifth.
Yeah.
Incidentally, if you did back that with William Hill, don't throw your slip away if you haven't already, because we did offer five places. There are only six finishers, though, Mick, in the end. Portrait King, the only one to finish that was out of the frame.
Six from 20, but only Bob Ford fell. There were three unseats: Black Thunder, Red Devil's Lad and Ali Vic. They were the unseats, and all the rest were pulled up, which just emphasised what you were saying about the demands of the track at the trip on the ground.
And plenty were out of the race by, well, just past halfway, really. It was one of those races where if they weren't going, they definitely weren't going, and the jockeys did the sensible thing and pulled them up.
And Jamie Moore and Mountainous are made for each other, aren't they, basically?
Yeah, they are. I mean, I was saying to you outside earlier, it looked like he just joined in with about a mile to go.
Yeah.
It was frightening. But
yeah.
And a winner for Kerry Lee, who has had one heck of a start to her training career.
She certainly has, since she took the licence over from Father Richard. I'm sure he's there in the background with all of his tricks and what have you. He's a great man for keeping these old horses sweet, isn't he? And with his little potions and remedies and whatever ails them, he gets them right. And, I've never seen Mountainous look or run better than he did at the age of 11 on Saturday. It was a fantastic performance in the conditions. I can't emphasise enough how difficult it is for horses to go at racing pace for that sort of, over that trip in those conditions. Just jumping out of that ground is so stamina-sapping. It was an incredible performance.
Another incredible performance came over in Ireland, where Min won the Moscow Flyer Novice Hurdle at odds of 1-7. Now, when a horse wins at 1-7, it's hard to get overly excited about its chances in the next race, if you like. But with Min, it's a bit of a different story. Following in the footsteps of Vautour and Duvan, who won that race in the last couple of years, they've, of course, gone on to win the Supreme for the same connections. And off the back of that, we shot Min into even money to win the Supreme, which, on the face of it, looks short, Mick. But at the same time, you're kind of thinking, well, what's going to stop it winning?
Well, yeah, I know what you're saying about 1-7, etc., etc. But don't forget, that race was run on ground equally as testing as Chepstow. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not quite as demanding a track as Chepstow, but he'd still got to go out there and do it on that ground. And considering how he was pulling Ruby's arms out for most of the race, you would have thought that might have had a part to play in the closing stages. But if anything, when the turbo kicked in, he went away again, didn't he? Mm. And visually, forget about everything else. Forget about all the clock lot. They'll say blah, 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 this, that and the other. Visually, that was the performance of a high-class horse.
Mm, it was. I can't argue with that. And having spoken to Andy Holding this morning, did the Irish Racing Preview with him, looking ahead to Fairy House on Sunday, he was saying that clockwise, it was sensational.
Did he? That's interesting.
Diamond King, who's former Donald McCain horse, now with Gordon Elliott, won the last race on the card. And he said that time-wise, if they'd have been in the same race, Min would have beaten him by 30 lengths.
Yes.
Which is quite something, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, yes, I agree. I mean, it was slow by 15 seconds, but as I say, slower than standard by 15. But he still just failed to break 4 minutes, which for 2 miles in heavy ground, is not bad, is it?
No. Well, it's one of those things where you said, obviously, that visually looked the part. Time-wise, looks the part.
Yeah.
You're looking at the connections. They look the part.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're looking at the even money and going, well, is it still a good price? I personally think it is. I can't see anything that's going to beat Min.
No, I haven't seen anything.
The only danger with the anti-postmarkers is, of course, injury.
Yes, of course, but which is always what you've got to take on board. And I'm not a great anti-post better myself, but I wouldn't put anybody off taking anything they could get about him, because he does look a banker.
Mm.
And there's nothing like getting off to a good start, is there?
No, well, of course, he came so close, didn't he, William Williams, to having an incredible... Well, he still had a very, very good one on the first day last year. But he certainly could be on for one again, couldn't he?
Funnily enough, I'd only backed 2 Willie Mullins winners at the festival last year, and neither of them were favourite. Wicklow Brave was 33-1.
Mm. Well, I think I'm looking at sort of... Last year, I was keen to take on Willie Mullins and his favourites.
Mm.
And then you watch the races and you think, why have I done that?
No,
so I think this year I'll be pro Mullins. The thing is, you're not going to get sensational value, but the thing is, if he has the quantity of winners he had last time, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't.
If you're putting 4 or 5 horses together.
Yeah, and you tend to bet a bit bigger, don't you, at the festival.
Yeah.
So, you know, it evens itself out, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it looks the part to me. Goodness me.
Definitely. As I said, no jumping to look forward to on Monday,
sadly.
Which is a shame, but there's nothing we can do about it.
They've had the weather terrible in Scotland, haven't they? And still getting it as we record this. So it's no surprise that Ayres missed the boat.
No, but we're left with...
missed the boat might not be very...
I could do with a boat.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably. Boat weather at Ayres, yeah.
We've got 1 at Wolverhampton and 3 at Kempton to look at. Some decent races as well, aren't they, really? Let's be honest.
Yes, absolutely. But good stuff, for a Monday without any jumpers. Mm. I think we've been blessed with a very competitive competitive flat action.
We'll start with Wolverhampton's 150. It's a filly's handicap over 6 furlongs. 7 runners down to go to post for this one, Mick. Where should we start here? It's a tricky little one.
I think Confused is going to be the starting point for many people. She got her act together a week ago in first-time cheek pieces. And... slightly more tricky draw to contend with here. But the grade's fine. And even under the £6 penalty, she's going to prove hard to beat. Having said that, I do worry about that draw slightly. I know there's only 7 runners, but it's going to be a tactical-ish affair, this. And I think Dilgura, who's in box 1, might... be and just taking into account that probably Afusi will take a big chunk out of the market.
Mm.
Dilgura, very lightly raced for a 6-year-old. She'd obviously had her problems, but the ability is there for all to see. She's back close to a winning mark. I think she's winning a pound of her last winning mark. And she went very close last time off of this mark. And that was in class four. And she's into class five here. And should she and Kelly want to, and she does like to race prominently, if he wants to attack, he's in the perfect spot to do it. And I just think she could be the answer. It's a pity we haven't got the dead eight. If she was about 5-2, 3-1, hard to see her not in the frame. Hard to not see her in the front two anyway. The other one to mention is By Rights, who's knocking on the door with all those seconds and thirds, but has been beaten off of this mark in easier races than this the last three times in class six, so it's going to be hard for her to put things right against those two strong opponents, Effusiv and Dilgura, with a vote going to Dilgura.
Okay, Dilgura the pick in Wolverhampton's 150. We'll move to Kempton next for the 2 o'clock. It's a handicap over 2 miles, 9 runners going to post. The turn of the stayers here for this one, Mick. And again, it's a competitive little race.
It certainly is. You've got the weights are headed by Shalambar, who should be all the better for that run over an inadequate trip. It was only 10 furlongs that he had the spin over last time we saw him, but that was after 192 days off. And he's back to a more appropriate trip here. The visor that has been missing lately is back on. Should be competitive, but still £5 higher than the last win, which for me leaves him vulnerable at the age of 10.
OK, vulnerable to what, mate? What wins this?
Guards Chapel, I think. George Baker takes the ride. He's won three times on him, George. Those last flat figures suggest that the form's taped off, but his last two runs have actually been good ones over hurdles. And they were in November and December, and for me, they reflect his well-being more than the flat profile would suggest. He's yet to win off a mark of this high, but he has gone very, very close off of it. So Guards Chapel's going to get the vote, and he's also, as I've said before, shown he goes well for George Baker, and he likes the course and distance as well. The others to consider, Ledbury looks as though there's a race in him. He looked very slow at Southwell last time when he was made favourite for a maiden, so the step up in trip ought to suit him, and he's probably got each way claims. Flighty Filia, she wears blinkers for the first time after being disappointing at odds on in a class six last time. She may well have run into one of Gary Moore's. It hasn't run since, so we don't know, but I just think it's now they've reached for the blinkers. They were obviously a bit disappointed with the run. Maybe not one for maximum faith, though, Flighty Filia. So I'm quite happy to stay with Guards Chapel and continue the good run of the Moore family.
OK, next up is Kempton's 340, a handicap over a mile. 9 runners down to go to post, and a few of these are arriving here in pretty decent nick.
Yeah, it's a trappy one, this, isn't it, this class 5. The weights are headed by... Well, it's a very sort of tight handicap. There's only next to nothing between a lot of them. Farletti is interesting. Andrew Balling's got his winter team in good order, and they've gone for the visor for the first time on this filly. She's well handicapped on her best turf form. If you go back to that Newbury run in July, Alex, when she wasn't beaten far in a very competitive handicap of 75, she got in here off 69, and as I say, the visor might just bring about a bit more improvement. I think she is the likely improver in the race. Napoleon Solo, he wears the hood for the first time. Only his sixth career start on Monday. Ran well last time against an odds-on favourite, so I suppose you could see he was second favourite, ran to be as well as could have been expected, but the odds-on favourite winner flopped very badly when it was made favourite again next time. So I'm not sure about the strength of the form. So I think he probably does need the hood to bring about further improvement if he's going to beat some of these. Gracious George, quite interesting, the course and distance winner. Wins in his turn, and a lot more like it last time. And he's also below his last winning mark. Alan Kirby up for the first time for a horse who's won three times at the track. We've certainly got each way claims Gracious George. I'm going to stay with Farletti. Hope that can continue. Andrew Balding's good run of form.
Farletti the pick in the 3:40. The final race we're going to look at is the 4:10, a handicap over 6 furlongs. We've got 9 runners going to post. And again, horses arriving here off, well, there's a couple off the back of wins and off creditable efforts. It's a really tricky one to call, this one.
Yeah, very much so. Alight from Mars is one of the last semi-winners you referred to. Dropping back in trip. He has won over the trip, but I don't think... I think the penalty's going to anchor him. I think we can probably put the fork into him. But the other last time out winner, very interesting, Royal Normandy. We went for one of Andrew Balding's in our previous race, and this one's got a big shout as well, with the Rob Hornby on board, has ridden it the last twice, including the win. Only up 3 for that course and distance win last month in first-time blinkers. They're back on. I think the key thing with Royal Normandy is he's unexposed at 6 furlongs. Been running over further until just lately. And I think he'll need a strong pace to aim at, judging by the manner of his course and distance win last time. But there's evidence that he's going to get that. So I think that he's probably going to be the answer to this, hopefully. The others to consider, though, are Foreign Diplomat, representing David O'Mara, Danny Tudhope, in the saddle. It's his first time here over this course and distance, but he is not from 2 over further. Whether that tells us anything, I don't know. Mark's okay, hasn't won off of it, but he's gone very close off this or higher, 82. Class 4, okay. He's run 10 times in class 4, 1, 2, and placed twice. Good draw for a horse who races prominently. Wouldn't put anybody off backing Foreign Diplomat. And in fact, if the prices were right, I'd Dutch my stakes here, Foreign Diplomat and Royal Normandy, because I do think the winner will come from one of those two. Having said that, Stellata comes here on her last turf winning mark. I think it's worth remembering that she was in good form this time last year. And I think she's not out of this, Stellata. Another one with a chance in an open race. And the old boy, Dr. Parks, is another one to consider from an informed stable, Stuart Williams. Ocean Murphy, I think it's Ocean's first ride on Dr. Parks. Better than the finishing position would you suggest last time. And he's £5 below his last winning mark. It is his first run here over this 6 furlongs round Kempton, but not to be discounted. Very, very, very tough little race, and it should be a good betting heat. I think I'm going to Dutch my stakes here with Foreign Diplomat and Royal Normandy.
Okay, 2 against the field then.
Yeah.
In the finale. Great stuff, Mick. I say the finale, the last race that we'd look at.
The last one of our 4, yeah.
That is the 4:10. Can you just spin us through your fancies on the all-weather on Monday, please?
Yes, Stilgura I'm going for in the 150 at Wolverhampton. Definitely showed that the race is to be won with her last time. In the 2 o'clock at Kempton for the Stairs Guards Chapel, if he can bring his recent decent hurdle race form to the equation at a track he likes, I think he's going to take some beating there for the Gary Moore stable. And in the 3:40, the mile, class 5, Farletti is interesting here in the first-time visor, after definitely looking as if turn was close last time. And maybe in Balding can double up with Royal Normandy. I'm touching my stakes here, Royal Normandy and Foreign Diplomat in a very tricky 4:10.
OK, great stuff, Mick. Thanks very much for your time and best of luck with your picks on Monday.
Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.